You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's called the Fair Michigan Justice Project, a collaboration between the LGBT advocacy group Fair Michigan and the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office. And it marks an important new approach in pursuing hate crimes committed against people who are LGBT. And we wanted to get a one-year report card as we welcome Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy. Such a pleasure to welcome you to Stateside.
My pleasure to be here.
And from Fair Michigan, we have Attorney and President Dana Nessel.
Thank you so much for having me.
And the Special Prosecutor for the Fair Michigan Justice Project, Jamie Powell Horowitz. So good to have you here.
Thank you.
So, Dana, what drove you to come up with this idea? What was not working?
What I had seen, unfortunately, over the course of many years was what seemed to be a large number of hate crimes that were being committed against the LGBTQ community. And personally, I was getting a lot of complaints from people who were saying that they didn't feel like they were adequately protected by the criminal justice system and that they were very afraid to report these crimes. And they felt that the crimes were going not just that they were not reporting them, but that they were not being properly investigated when they did report them. They were not being solved. They were not being prosecuted. And it seemed as though this was an area where there was a real need for some reform.
And Kim, what is it that you weren't getting in order to pursue these crimes?
I was getting not really pushback, but I was reading about all these cases. And one day I asked the chief, had they been solved? What's happening with these cases? I knew, because I live close to Palmer Park, I knew that there had been a number of cases of missing African-American women of color, trans women, or killed, and many issues. And I checked, and I never saw any warrants come into my office. And I checked with my warrants, and we didn't have any. And I knew I had personally heard of probably four or five at least. And maybe not that high, but I just remember hearing that.
And they stuck in your mind and
they
heart.
They stuck in my mind. They stuck in my mind, absolutely. And, you know, not only because they were LGBTQ, but because they were women of color. So I called the person that I knew would be able to help. She came up with the idea. I told her what the problem was. Mm-hmm. She's the one that came up with the solution. But the end game is that we decided to partner. And it's been more successful than I think any of us imagined.
So this collaboration, it really is pretty unique in the country, isn't it?
As far as I know,
we're the only ones.
I think Wayne County is the only county prosecutor's office that has a task force that operates the way that ours does.
So who's on the task force? So give us an idea of what it's about.
So what we decided to do is, through this collaboration, to have a task force that focused solely on hate crimes perpetrated against the LGBTQ community. So what we have is Jamie Powell Horowitz, who is a very well-recognized, well-respected prosecutor. So she's actually been assigned as a special prosecutor sworn in by Kim in her office so that she can prosecute these cases in Wayne County. We have a special investigator named Vicki Yost, who has decades of law enforcement experience, and she serves as our investigator. And then we also have a victim's advocate who is a trans woman by the name of Jaleesa Abad, and she works with the victims in our cases, and she's really been our liaison to the trans community to assist us with getting cooperation from transgender victims and also trans witnesses.
And so, Jamie, here you are, the former assistant prosecutor in Wayne County, and now you're sworn in and you're devoted to this. So what are you able to do now through working with this project, with the Fair Michigan Justice Project, that maybe you couldn't before?
Well, one of the most important things about this project is that we are able to vertically prosecute the cases, which means that as soon as the crime happens, as soon as we are aware of it, we are able to have contact with the victim. We stay with them through the entire case. So they're only dealing with one prosecutor, one advocate. So they don't have a multitude of people calling them. They don't have to be re-victimized repeatedly by having to tell their story to somebody else every step of the way. So it's, I think, comforting for the victim to have one person to deal with. Jaleesa Abad is our trans advocate. I have to say she has been invaluable to us. A lot of our trans victims are so nervous about coming to court. Even for them to come through the front door and go through security, have to take their jewelry off, have to take off their belt, they feel that this is such a difficult place to come to have to tell their story. So to have somebody stand with them, hold their hand, stay with them throughout the process, is very comforting. They know that there are law enforcement people who are on their side and that are going to help them through the process.
And then what are we getting in terms of the law enforcement side of things, where perhaps before a case was maybe put up on the, you know, in the cold file and kind of forgotten about? How is this changing that narrative?
I think it's getting better. Slowly but surely. And one of the big issues for me has always been not only with the LGBTQ community, but also with criminal justice, period, is there are certain segments of the people that I represent, and I represent all of the people of the state of Michigan, that just don't feel like the criminal justice system is for them, with them, cares about them. They feel that they're abandoned, ignored, and frankly, they're very afraid to be engaged, and they don't want to report horrible victimization. So
why? Help us understand why that is.
From either by the way they've been treated in the past, the way that they perceive they can be treated, the way they have been, actually, people have been treated, people of color, women with the rape kits. That's a whole thing behind the rape kits is they were totally ignored. And this project addresses that. And we had many things that Dana and I and Jamie talked about is where we're going to do the interviewing, how we're going to do it, how we're going to be involved. Chief Craig was one of the first people we talked to. He was on board. I believe we're working with some other departments. So slowly but surely, I think people are coming around, and a lot of people aren't, but I think people are at least beginning to realize that everybody deserves justice. They may not agree with the way we're doing it. They may not agree with a lot of things. I really think that people are coming around to the idea that everybody in the county of Wayne, everywhere, deserves justice. And we're just trying to give them a measure of justice that makes them feel recompensed somehow, makes them feel that they do matter, that makes them feel that going forward their cases are going to matter. And it helps us in the end because we want people to come forward. We want people to report any abuse, any victimization, any crime that happens to them. And hopefully, if nothing else, that's what's happening here.
Yeah, you know, the very first case that we did last summer in July, right after this project was formed, I think it was a week after Dana and Kim had started talking about putting this project together, there was an individual who posted on social media. He posted himself assaulting an LGBTQ man with a weapon, and he was spewing homophobic slurs. He posted online. This victim really highlights why this project was so important. This victim did not tell anyone. He did not tell his family. He did not tell his friends. He did not go to law enforcement. It was posted online. It caught the attention of Danny Woods at the Detroit Police Department, who is the liaison for the LGBT community. And we worked with her. Jaleesa Abad started making contacts in the community with people that she knew. We ultimately located him, and he talked to us about it. He did not want to go to the police. He did not want to talk about it to anybody but us.
But you created that safe space.
So we didn't make him come in. We went to him, and we gave him a safe space, and he was able to successfully come forward. And this was such a sad case because this victim, after being victimized, was actually told to leave his own home and told that it was his fault that this happened to him because he was gay. So this really highlights why it's so difficult for victims to come forward. They don't have the support. They have no support system in place. Jaleesa Abad, our advocate, was able to get services for him. We stayed in touch with him throughout the case. And we were very pleased at the result we got. The defendant is now serving time in prison for the assault.
And this is a really dangerous person. I mean, he was not just dangerous to the LGBTQ community, but, you know, he made threats against the police. He is a person that Wayne County and the state of Michigan is a much safer place with him behind bars right now. And even though the ironic thing is that even though he had captured this offense on videotape, we would not have been able to prosecute him without the testimony of the complaining witness.
Right.
And so having this tool, if you will, of the Fair Michigan Justice Project, you're getting what you need to be able to go forward.
There's no question about it. There's no question about that most of the cases on this list probably wouldn't have, maybe all of them wouldn't have been prosecuted but for this project. But the fact that people feel free to put online, to say, to brag about their abuse of other people, and we're seeing it all over. But especially in the last, I'd say, last couple of years, especially people seem emboldened to attack members of this community. And to me, it's outrageous and it's intolerable and we won't have it.
Well, let's talk about what kinds of convictions you've been able to get. How many in total in this first year?
At this point, in less than a year, we have 9 convictions.
And what are some of the cases?
We've had anything from criminal sexual conduct in the first degree, those rape cases, assault with intent to murder. We've had a few of those, shootings, stabbings, felonious assault cases. That's assault with a dangerous weapon. We even had an extortion case. We frequently see people who are targeted online. Many times, defendants or suspects will target individuals based on their sexual orientation, lure them in with the promise of a romantic encounter, and then they will rob them, assault them, steal from them. We even had one suspect that we charged and prosecuted who actually came to meet our victim wearing latex gloves. And when the victim refused to get into the car, the defendant shot him twice in the back while making homophobic slurs.
I'm wondering, as we are aware of national and local stories over these past couple of years about these cases you're talking about, the crimes against transgender people in Detroit, how would you characterize what the transgender community is facing in Detroit and in Wayne County?
Well, you know, what I can say about that is all of the LGBTQ community faces obstacles. I think that the trans community really has it the worst. And something that I had suspected, but then my fears were confirmed through our work in this project, is that a lot of people who are victimized, who are trans, are victimized specifically because they are left in a place where they're much more vulnerable than the rest of the population. Because we don't have any protections for sexual orientation or gender identity in our Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act, or even in the Ethnic Intimidation Act, which is our state hate law act, it leaves them more vulnerable. So you'll see a lot of trans people who, because they cannot get jobs, because it's difficult for them to get safe housing, they're left in a place where oftentimes they're on the street. And people who are on the street are going to be targeted more for violent offenses. And so you cannot fail to see the connection between the lack of protection in our state laws and the crimes that are being committed against the community. And, you know, when Kim talks about all of these murders or very serious assaults against trans women of color in the city of Detroit, I don't think that Detroit is inherently less safe than other major cities, but a lot of those other cities are in states that have protections. So a lot of these trans folks are able to get employment because they cannot be discriminated against. And unfortunately, that's not the case here in the state of Michigan. So the other thing that these laws tend to do is, by not protecting these very marginalized classes of people, it really sends a message to these offenders and to these perpetrators of these crimes that maybe these classes of the people aren't as deserving of legal protections as all other people. And it emboldens them to commit crimes against these people because the message is, the state of Michigan doesn't care about you if you're gay. The state of Michigan doesn't care about you if you're trans.
What's really interesting, though, is that the state of Michigan does require reporting to the Michigan State Police. The Michigan State Police then publishes their statistics to federal authorities. But we are required to keep stats of hate crimes involving sexual orientation. We don't include gender identity, but we do include sexual orientation. So while the state of Michigan requires reporting of these crimes, there's no hate crime law to prosecute these hate crimes under. So it's very disjointed and it doesn't make any sense.
And the thing that has been of such great comfort to me is at least I can say, well, maybe the state of Michigan doesn't care about you, but Wayne County does.
Ken, what's being done, Kim, in Wayne County with you as the prosecutor and then with the whole team that Fair Michigan has put together, is that filtering out to the rest of the state? And are people paying attention who matter?
I'd like to say it is. There are some of my colleagues across the state, for example, that are very, very receptive and are beginning to do things in their own counties. For example, Jamie wrote a transgender apology when it came to prosecutions and how they should be treated. We made it a policy in Wayne County, and then I shared that policy with my 82 other colleagues across the state. And I think there were about 5 or 6 now that are considering making it part of their policy as well, and some that already have not a similar policy, but at least that philosophy. So I'm hoping they'll take that extra step and make it their policy.
It's a transgender interaction policy, which directs law enforcement personnel in their interactions with the transgender community. In Wayne County, we will always respect your gender identity. We will use proper pronouns. We will argue with the defense when they refuse to use proper pronouns. We will not allow our victims to come into court and be disrespected.
And what's great is actually, you know, the judges, almost uniformly that I've seen, have agreed.
They're very receptive in Wayne County, yes.
And giving people the proper language to use is very important. You can't fight crime. You can't be good at your job if you are not respectful to your victims. We always tell the police officers that we talk to and train and the prosecutors, we understand that people have differences of opinion. However, you always have to be professional and respectful. And it helps you to solve crime. It helps you to close cases.
Which is what you want to do.
It helps you to get justice for these individuals. So being respectful is extremely important.
I'm wondering, Prosecutor Worthy, does being part of this project take anything out of your budget?
No, not right now.
No, smiling.
No. As a matter of fact, thank you for bringing that. That's a very important point.
Well, I would say that I would really like to thank the Wayne County Commission and specifically Commissioner Gary Warnchak. as well as Warren Evans, the county executive of Wayne County, because I know they've been working really hard to try to do whatever they can to make certain that we have adequate funding for this project. So that's something that they're working on, and we're expecting to see some funding hopefully coming from the county. Up until this point, it's all been private funding. It's been a lot of speeches on my behalf.
It's like a campaign.
That's what it is. I would liken it to Kim's efforts to secure funding to test the Detroit rape kits. And so, you know, I've taken a page out of her book to the extent that sometimes the system you have in place simply isn't working for whatever reason. You have to be willing to try to take innovative measures that haven't been done before in order to solve the problem. At the end of the day, the goal is to try to solve these crimes, try to protect the community, and that's what projects like this aim to do and have been successful in doing.
What I tell people all the time, I'm supposed to represent the people of the state of Michigan. It doesn't say I represent just the straight people of the state of Michigan. I represent everybody. And everybody has a right to be heard and to be given justice. And those that need help getting there, we have to have projects like this. And so when you talk about Detroit that was bankrupt a few years ago, the county of Wayne that had no money and had problems a few years ago that's coming out of that. So you can't tell any. You certainly can't tell me that you can't do anything with no resources. It's persistence. It's having friends that are willing to step out there who have great ideas and who are willing to work hard and try to get things done in a less than conventional way.
And it can be done. The fact that this is really one of perhaps the only program of its kind in the nation, you have to have activists, LGBTQ activists across the country who would want to hear what you're doing and maybe replicate it in their states.
That was one of our big goals. And I know that Kim said from the very beginning that not only did we hope this was successful for Wayne County, which it has been, but we hope that this idea will spread to areas around the country. But As a person who is an LGBTQ person in Michigan, in a state that hasn't always made me feel so welcome, quite honestly, I am so proud to both live and work in Wayne County.
I want to grow up in a world where this isn't even an issue, that, you know, every person that does in law enforcement, every prosecutor does these cases, the advocates have less to do, although there'll always be more. But that's the kind of world I want my children to grow up. I'm not going to grow up in that kind of world. But I want my children to grow up in that kind of world.
And this is a big start to this.
This is a start. And it's an example to children everywhere, I think. And I have to say that I'm very, very proud of this project. I'm proud of my government as well. And I think there's a whole lot more that we can give and a whole lot more that we can do as we get even more and more resourced.
The Fair Michigan Justice Project is celebrating its one-year anniversary. To mark that anniversary, we've been speaking with Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy and attorney and Fair Michigan President Dana Nessel and the Special Prosecutor for the Fair Michigan Justice Project, Jamie Powell Horowitz. Thanks to all of you for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.